Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of trees and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Lord Sri Krishna is so mild and merciful as described in the above verses, and yet he is the Lord of all kinds of trees. He is the Supreme Lord of the three worlds, the three qualities of material nature, and the three Purushas, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. There are innumerable universes, and in each and every universe there are different manifestations of Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra. Besides that, there is the Shesha Murti, who bears all the universes on his hoods, and Lord Krishna is the Lord of all of them. As the incarnation of Manu, he is the original source of all Manus in innumerable universes. Each universe has manifestations of 5,04,000 Manus. He is the Lord of the three principal potencies, namely Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti and Tatastha Shakti. And he is the complete master of six kinds of fortune: wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. There is none who can excel him in any matter of enjoyment. And certainly there is no one greater than him. No one is equal to or greater than him. It is the duty of everyone, whoever and wherever one may be, to surrender completely unto him. It is not wonderful, therefore, that all the transcendental controllers surrender to him and make all offerings of worship. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroha Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha. Chapter 2, Third Canto. So because there was a talk going on about mercy and mildness of Krishna before, here in this Prabhupada, Prabhupada is writing, Lord Sri Krishna is so mild and merciful as described in the above verses, and yet he is the Lord of all kinds of trees. Actually, this is what makes Krishna so great. Many devotees have analyzed Krishna's qualities. One of his qualities is called as his Dina Bandhu. Dina means fallen. Bandhu means a friend. How can Lord, who is so supremely pure, can be friend of the fallen? Or Dinanath, the leader of the fallen. In the Bhagavatam, Prahlada Maharaj uses a word, Kripana Vatsala. Bhakta Vatsala is well known. Kripana Vatsala is rarely known. Trastosmaham Kripana Vatsala Dussahogra Samsara Chakra Kadanat Grasatam Pranita Baddhasvakarma Birushattamatengri Moolam Preeto Pavargasharanam Vayasekadanu. He says, Trastosmiha means, I am extremely fearful of this material world. Kripana Vatsala Dussahogra. The Samsara Chakra is crushing with its grinding teeth all the living entities, punishing them by battering them in the waves of threefold miseries and fourfold real problems. So Prahlad is saying, I am very afraid, my dear Lord, of this Samsara Chakra. But I have one hope. What is that hope? You are Kripana Vatsala. Those are Kripanas means, those are short-sighted fools who always delight in material enjoyment. And opposite of Kripana is Brahmana. One who is Brahma Janati iti Brahmana. But why the Lord becomes Sakrapana Vatsala? Because Lord takes pity on the suffering souls. And what is the proof? He comes as incarnation to perform various colorful pastimes which are recorded in the histories, by hearing which the conditioned souls can be delivered. And also, to such Kripanas also the Lord arranges great devotees to deliver those Kripanas. Just like Prabhupada went to the hippie community, and the, some of the hippies who became devotees later on told Prabhupada, "We are so sorry, Prabhupada, to bring you to this, you know, Tompkinson Square Park, such a dirty place, Bowery." So Prabhupada said, "This is Vaikuntha," he said. Because Prabhupada also is a Kripana Vatsala. The Krishna is Kripana Vatsala. So, how is Lord merciful? He showed the mercy to Putana. He would have just killed her, punished her and sent her away. But the Lord delivered her and gave her the position of a mother. Similarly, the Lord punished Indra for his Kripana mentality. But he gave him devotional service after that. So, it's explained here, Lord is mild and merciful, but He is also the Lord of all kinds of trees. Many trees are explained here. He is the master of three modes. He is saying that in one of the verses, Echaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasaschaye matta eveti tanviddi natpamte shute mayi. No, Arjuna, that all these three gunas come from me and I am not in them. I am above them. This is a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because the Mayavadis say when the impersonal Brahman touches matter, when the impersonal Brahman touches mode of ignorance, it becomes matter. When the impersonal Brahman touches mode of passion, it becomes a jiva. And when the impersonal Brahman touches mode of goodness, it becomes Vasudev or it becomes Vishnu. This is the interpretation given by Mayavadis. They say the impersonal Brahman is the only existence and when it contacts the Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattaguna, it becomes the Jada and the Chetanatma and the Paramatma. Ultimately, they say the Jada doesn't exist at all. It is just for one level of understanding. It is Jada is illusion. And the difference between the Atma and the Paramatma is also illusion, they say. But which is accepted temporarily for liberation. So, according to them, the best presence of God in the material world is on mode of goodness. Like Krishna, Ram, and all these forms, they think that they are all in mode of goodness. They are mode of goodness forms. But in that particular verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna denies that. What he says? Echaiva sattvika bhava rajasastama saschaye. My dear Arjuna, the whole world is made up of three modes. The Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattaguna only. All products. You touch anything in this world, they are made of one of these three. They are made of one of these three only. But then he says, and all of them come from me, he says. Matta yeveti. They all come from me only. But, matta yeveti tanviddi natvam teshutemi. I am not in them. Although I am source of them, I am not affected by them. And I am above them, Krishna says. It is like saying, how the spider makes a spider's web, but it doesn't become entangled. But any other fly which is coming nearby flying, it will get entangled. So Krishna creates the spider's web of three modes in this world, but he doesn't become entangled in it like the foolish Mayavadis think. The foolish Mayavadis think, because Krishna is inside the jail of material world, he is also like you or me. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the commentaries, the Mayavadis say that God can never come to this world. If He comes, then He has to take a material body like you and me. And this is the estimation of Mayavadis. But Prabhupada says, this is based on their conclusion like a Dr. Frog. Like a frog says, if any frog comes to my well, even from the Atlantic, that frog also can have only a well similar to mine. It cannot have a bigger well than mine. So, the frog from Atlantic told this frog, "Oh, you are living in such a small well, I am living in a vast ocean. He asked him, okay, tell me how big it is. Maybe half the size or one size or a double size. How big it is. So that frog said, you know, it's just immeasurable. It is so vast, your well is incomparable to it. And the other frog said, then it's not possible. Maybe it doesn't exist, he said. So similarly, Prabhupada says, Krishna, when he comes into this world, it's like a governor coming into a jail. So two mistakes are committed by foolish thieves. Either they say, governor is like me. He is also a thief. Or, I am governor. They will say that I am president, I am prime minister, or he is thief. So, Krishna says that I am not touched even by sattva guna. He is called as guna atit. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told in a very beautiful verse, he says, Krishna is actually called Maya Adish. And Jiva is called as Maya Vash. We are in Maya Vash and Krishna is Maya Adish. He is master of Maya. And we are in the Vash of Maya. We are in the clutches of Maya. So Krishna is also Gunatit. Trigunatit. One boy has a name, one of our boys. Trigunatit. Of course, he is not Trigunatit, he is Trigunatit Das. So Krishna is Trigunatit. He is beyond the three modes. So that is one thing he explains. One three. What is another three? The three qualities of material nature and the three Purushas. Karana Dakshay, Garu Dakshay, Vishnu, Kshira Dakshay, Vishnu. Yeah, these Purushas are called as the shelters of the material world, and Krishna is called shelter of these shelters. So he creates them from himself. And then Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra, that is another three. And Krishna is the source of all of them also. And then he is saying, there is one more three, which Prabhupada explains one or two lessons later, which is Trilok. There is a Martilok, there is upper planetary system and lower planetary system. Trilokya Adhipatim Prabhum. He is called as a Trilokya Adhipati. He is the master of three worlds, upper and lower and middle worlds. That is another three. There is one more three which is not mentioned here, we can think of. Sambit, Sandini, Khaladini. Krishna is also the source of all those energies also. Sambit, Sandini, Khaladini. And then he is telling about how, Lord Krishna is the Lord of all of them. As the incarnation of Manu is the original source of all Manus in innumerable universes, each universe has manifestations of 5,04,000 Manus. He is the Lord of... So we'll read one verse about Manu, 10.6 Bhagavad Gita. See here, Krishna is telling, please repeat this verse. Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaro Manavastatha Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha. Good. It's a very important verse connected to this verse. Maharishayaha Sapta. Who are these Maharishaya Sapta? Saptarishis. And Purve, even one step before them, Chatvaro. Who are they? Four Kumaras. Yeah. So, they are whose sons? Brahma's sons. So, Chatvara means the four Kumaras, Brahma's sons. And Maharshaya Sapta, they are also Brahma's sons. And then Manavastatha is saying. And all the Manus. Madbhava, Manasa, Jata. They are born from my mind, Krishna is saying. And Yesham, and in this world, Loka, all the Jivas, living beings that you see wandering here and there, Imaha Praja. All these Prajas, they have become originated from these people. The four Kumaras and the Saptarishis, they were born. And then subsequently Manus. And then all the, see he says, the seven great Rishis and before them the four other great Rishis, sages. And the Manus, progenitors of mankind, come from me. Born from my mind. And all living beings populating the various planets descend from them. That means any living being you see anywhere, you have to know that they have come from these Prajapatis and from the Saptarishis. They are not coming from monkeys or from any amoeba or anything, huh? As the modern man thinks. This is Krishna's verdict. So that's what Prabhupada is saying here. And then he's saying, it's a concluding verse actually in this. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mamayo veti tattvataha. So avikalpena yogena yujate natra sanshaya. One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotion service. Of this there is no doubt. So in this way, sometimes the idea thought about Manus and Saptarishis and Kumaras appear very ancient and far-fetched for us to approach. But that is a fact. Because Krishna says, when he wanted to expand the material world, this is the way he created the material world and how all the jivas are given bodies. Elsewhere he says another verse, Aham Bija Pradaha Pita. He says, Sarva Yonesha Kaunteya. All the yonis in this world are created by me. Murteya Sambhavantya Tasam. You will read in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, there are different types of species are created by the daughters of Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati, you will see that. Like the aquatics, the birds, the reptiles, the beasts, insects, and they all have a name. Now how a woman from her womb can produce all these different species, like aquatics, like the thimi, she produces all the aquatics from her body. And Krishna has given her ability to create like that. So all the different species of life are created. And the seed was given by whom? Krishna, he says. Aham Bija Pradahapita, he says. Subsequently, Prabhupada explains here, he is the complete master of all six kinds of fortune, the six opulences he explains. There is none who can excel him in any matter of enjoyment, and certainly there is no one greater than him. And no one is equal or greater. And then it is the duty of everyone, whoever and wherever one may be, so one may be, to surrender completely unto him. And then here in this translation he says, he is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of creation who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. So this verse explains Krishna's greatness. How Krishna is worshipped by like Brahma or Indra. They all are bowing down at his feet, their helmets touching the ground. Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, when all the Brahmas appeared from different universes, when they are bowing down, there was a clinging sound, the clashing of the helmets to the ground. But no Brahma could see the other Brahma. They only saw themselves. They saw oneself and Krishna. They could not see others. Every Brahma who came from different universes. But Krishna was looking at all of them. And our Brahma also was given a chance to see all of them. A special type of vision was given. So he could see all Brahmas coming and bowing down. That was given for a very specific purpose. To teach him a lesson, who Krishna actually is. Krishna is the master of all the Brahmas, of all the Brahmandas. That verse says, that one exhalation and inhalation of Mahavishnu, within that Brahmandas are created and they all are annihilated into his body. And all the Brahmas who are born in those Brahmandas are called as Jagadanda Natha, leaders of the Brahmandas. And with folded palms, they are worshipping Mahavishnu. And they perform their duty and then they enter into Mahavishnu's body again, all the universes. Like that. So, if you see the relativity of time, Vishnu's time is 3.11 trillion 40 billion years of Brahma is one breath of Vishnu. He exhales and inhales, finished. Brahmandas are over. And that Mahavishnu is only a Kala of Krishna. Kala means Amshamsha of Krishna. Because from Krishna's body comes Balaram and then comes Narayana, Mahavishnu and all others, they come. So, one has to, actually suddenly when you hear these things, it may be incomprehensible for us. That is why the Shastras gradually develop. They help us understand. You first compare the earthly planet and the heavenly planet. The time period is 6 months here is equal to 1 day in the heavenly planet. And again, 6 months here is one night there. That means when we spend 1 year, demigods spend only 1 day in that period. That's the relativity of time. So our 1,000 years means it comes to 36,000. 100 celestial is 36,000 years there. So like that, gradually the calculation is developed. First you understand who are we in relation to demigods and compare with Brahma. Then compare that Brahma with Mahavishnu. Compare that Mahavishnu with... Of course, there is one more step in between. What is explained here is a Manu. 14 Manus appear in one Brahma's day. 14 into 71 comes to how much? 1,000. 14 into 71. One Manu lives for 71 millenniums. And the total comes to one day of Brahma is 1,000 Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. Aharyat Brahmano Viduhu. So, this calculation, if we gradually do it, we will be able to understand the relativity of time. And how gradually it goes to the point of eternity. And beyond Mahavishnu, there is Krishna, who, it is not that in spiritual world there is no time. Some people say there is no time. There is time, but it cannot control Krishna. In spiritual world, time is controlled by Krishna. Whereas here, we are controlled by time. In fact, we age, we get old and we die because of time. In spiritual world, time is under Krishna's control. So I was recently reading in the Anandavandavan Champu, there is a description by Kavi Karnapur, very beautiful description of what is being spoken here. The eternal maintenance of creation, they offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. You see, in this world, all the things that exist around us, they are meant for worshipping Krishna only, glorifying Krishna only. You will see in this pastime how. After the Govardhan pastime was over, Krishna kept the Govardhan hill down. And then he climbed on the top of Govardhan hill. And at that time, all the demigods arrived there to congratulate Krishna. And there is a very vivid description. I can only tell you to the best of my remembrance, what I remember and when I studied, because it is so vast, you know, you can't afford to remember everything. But I remember some of the things, who all came there. So, of course, Brahma, followed by Shiva, and along with Parvati, of course, Ganesha, and Kartikeya, and Indra, and the Chatushkumaras, the Saptarishis, and also the Gandharvas and Kinnaras. And see, the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Charanas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurushas, they were all in the sky, singing and chanting the mantras. They were in the sky. And the Apsaras from heaven, they were all putting up a drama in the sky on Krishna Leela for pleasing the Lord. And they were also dancing very beautifully. The Gandharvas are playing the drums. They were doing. And Varuna is for waters. So Varuna came with a white umbrella. And he came and Krishna was sitting on an elevated, beautiful throne offered by Govardhan himself. Govardhan offered a throne made of stone and jewels. So Krishna sat on the throne and Varuna was holding that white umbrella. The white umbrella had beautiful, what do you call that? Pearl arrangements which were appearing like as if it is raining on all sides of the umbrella. It was having very beautiful pearl arrangements. Varuna was holding it. And Vayu, he took a chamara and he was doing chamara for Krishna. Actually, when you do chamara, why is chamara done? To drive the flies away, to give air as well as to drive flies away. But Vayu himself came and performed it for Krishna personally. And and also the different famous associates of the Lord, like the Sudarshan Chakra, he came and he formed many, many umbrellas, just like you see this round one. Like that he formed, expanded into hundreds of umbrellas, blocking the sunlight to come directly on Krishna. So he had expanded into many forms. Similarly, the Kaumodaki. What is Kaumodaki? the gada of the Lord, and that was beautifully jeweled, bejeweled with all the ratnas, ratnas of different colors, and that was standing erect like a jeweled pillar decoration. Imagine if this pillar is made up of, you know, jeweled pillar, it will attract everyone's attention, isn't it? And that was Kaumudiki was standing right in front of Krishna as a decorative piece, right in the front. Yeah. And the conch shell, Panchajanya, came, appeared there, and he started blowing and giving out auspicious sounds. Yeah. And Garuda flew at the top and he expanded his wings and made a beautiful canopy. Just like you make a canopy for the Janmashtami and other festivals. Like that, Garuda made a canopy in the top. It looked like he was standing in such a way that it appeared as if it's a decoration on the top of the sky. And many other beings, like for example the forest trees, they brought leaves, five types of tasting leaves. I don't know what are those five tastes, but the forest trees they brought. And other trees like banyan tree, they all brought their leaves. Some of the leaves are considered very auspicious leaves. Like for Shiva, they offered this bilva. For Krishna, we offer tulasi. Similarly, there are some trees with auspicious leaves, so they brought them. And all the celestial rivers, lakes, oceans, the holy ones, the personified forms appeared, along with their kalashas in their hands, carrying those sacred waters for performing abhishek for Krishna. So they also manifested. And besides that, the chaste ladies like Arundhati, Anasuya, in fact Brahma called all of them. He said the first chance for worshipping Krishna will be given to the chaste ladies. So he called Arundhati and Anasuya and the Gayatri. Gayatri is the one who wakes up the Lord in the morning and welcomes him. She is the mother of the Vedas. So she came. And then Parvati, daughter of Himavan, Himalayas, she came. And in this way, all the chaste ladies, they, just like a mother offering, mother bathing a child with great love, like that, all of them performed abhishek for Krishna. That was the first abhishek they did. And subsequently, Brahma was the one who performs arati, isn't it? Like we arati karana Brahma. So Brahma performed arati. And along with that abhishek, Airavat had come along with Indra. He brought the celestial waters of Akashaganga. He had brought it in a jeweled jar, jeweled pot. So he offered abhishek also for Krishna. Indra had come along with and Indra was offering obeisances to Krishna with his thousands of eyes in his body. He was offering obeisances. It was a very special sight to see. After Brahma, Brahma performed the arati, then he told all this, Arundhati, Anansuya, all those ladies to perform arati. Then Lord Shiva came. Shiva took bath in the Manasi Ganga to wipe out all his ashes in his body. Then he came out and then Shiva performed arati also, subsequently. After that, Brahma called the ocean, the milk ocean had brought many, many conch shells, huge whitish conch shells to give to Krishna. Only thing is that was to be placed on the ground because there was no stand to keep it. When Brahma was wondering where to keep them, then immediately the Mount Meru brought golden stands with three legs where you could keep those conch shells very nicely. Immediately he gifted, then the conch shells were kept there. And they started blowing in a very auspicious manner, all of them. And then after the abhishek was over, when Krishna's body was dried, they all, the Kamadhenu Kau, I forgot to say, brought the Panchagavya, and Brahma brought Panchamrita. So, of course, Brahma gave Madhupak also to Krishna. In fact, the Chintamani and the Kamadhenu Kaus and the desert trees, they all came in their personified forms. And they came to offer themselves to Krishna's service also. Not only that, even the Purusha Sukta, Sri Sukta, Mantra Pushpa, these are all mantras. They all came in their personified forms, chanting the Vedic mantras in high tone and low tone. So the Vedic mantras were chanted like that. And Krishna was watching who all have come, watching one by one. In this way, when Brahma, after the arati, he wanted to recite a prayer, when he was about to begin, Lord Shiva came and stopped Brahma and said, "See, here is a special personality who has come, a small boy, you know, whose body was glowing like a lightning, very effulgent boy." And Shiva said, "Can you guess who it is?" He said, "This is the Gopal mantra, who has come in a personified form, which is the best mantra to be offered to Krishna." The Gopal mantra was given by Narada for all living beings. So then he engaged Gopal mantra in Krishna's service, reciting the Gopal mantra. So in this way, the best mantras are offered to Krishna in worship. And Brahma, after the arati, told the chintamanis and the other jewels. The oceans had also brought the navaratnas, kept in nice jeweled golden boxes. They came and offered the navaratnas also. And Parvati had brought a very beautiful necklace to be offered to Krishna. So he told all of them, "Now you please decorate Krishna very beautifully." And Brahma picked up a crown and kept on Krishna's head. It had many beautiful diamonds and jewels which were shining very beautifully under the sun, very attractively. In this way, while crowning, Brahma told Krishna, "My dear Lord, thank you for accepting our worship. So we could declare your supremacy by offering this wonderful abhishek for you, and thank you for kindly accepting it, Krishna," Brahmaji said. In this way, there is a very vivid description. I only remembered a small portion of the description given there about who all came. So many others came. You can, in this universe you will find all the, like the mountains are full of minerals like gold and silver and diamond and all. The oceans are full of navaratnas. The forests are full of herbs, valuable herbs and trees. Similarly, anything in this world ultimately is meant for Krishna's service only. That's why they all came, to be offered in Krishna's service when Krishna was being worshipped. Once I heard from a devotee who asked a question in a class like this. He asked, "Can any of you say why a watermelon tree produces watermelon?" He asked. And one devotee said, "Prabhuji, watermelon is very good in summer season because we feel very thirsty in summer. So I think watermelon tree produces watermelon so that we can drink the juice of watermelon and we can quench our thirst." He said, "No, that's not the answer." He said, "Watermelon tree produces watermelon and he is very eager to quench the thirst of Krishna, not your thirst." Of course, Krishna doesn't feel thirsty, but Krishna can feel thirsty to please his devotees if he wants, just to take the service of a devotee. So then he said, "Ideally what you should do, a watermelon tree doesn't have hands and legs. It just produces watermelon. But if a human being goes there and cuts the watermelon fruit from there and picks it up and comes to temple and cuts it and offers to Kunja Bihari, then the watermelon tree considers how nice this human being is. He has engaged me in Krishna's service. And next life, the watermelon tree becomes a human being because he was engaged in Krishna's service. He could offer his fruits to Krishna. So next life, he gets a human body. And the person who offers the fruit, he also advances in his devotional life. He also goes up. He can also advance, just like patram pushpam phalam toyam. By offering to Krishna, then we also advance in our bhakti. Now, the watermelon tree produces watermelon, but then it doesn't have the ability to offer to Krishna. That's why it is seeking our help. The cow is producing milk. Why? For Krishna's pleasure. So we can milk the cow and offer the milk to Krishna, or make some milk items and offer to Krishna. Then only their life will become pure and perfect. So in this way, in this world, everything is created ultimately for Krishna's pleasure only. Just like in this pastime, you heard about arati and everything. But the foolish mentality is to think everything in this world is created for our enjoyment. My enjoyment. Eat, drink and be merry, as many people do. That is a common notion of the people. When Prabhupada says in one of his purports, the atheistic mentality makes one think that everything is there in this world for our enjoyment. Everything is for Krishna's enjoyment. Like you see all the devatas offering different types of worship for Krishna. In fact, the glorification which I told you now, this will be very soothing to the hearts of devotees. And such kind of glorification is there throughout the scriptures. Prabhupada says that sometimes you find a politician tries to become famous to get the votes of the public. They put his photograph. You have seen that in the marketplace sometimes. You know, vote for some hand they put or something they put on a finger or some animal, or, you know, rat or cat or some dog. Vote for this, vote for that. And they again and again put that fellow's picture along with the symbol. You know, some symbol they put, you know, some flag, some symbol like that. And when people go to the poll booth for voting, they look at the different symbols and they say, yeah, yeah, I saw the hand, and they put a vote. And these guys, many people sometimes don't even know their name. They have seen this fellow, you know, whose picture is put up in the market. You know, they know this fellow has a long mustache or a long beard, you know, or he has a big face or whatever. So they have just seen the figure, that's all. Now, do they know anything about what good work he has done? Most people, those who go for voting. Most often, before they go for voting, a lorry comes to pick up people. And they say, if you vote for this symbol, we will give you a free ride. So people say, okay, no problem, you take us. And they take them to the poll booth and they put a vote and they come back. So Prabhupada says, this is artificial glorification of mortals, dying men. These men are all swallowed by the serpent of death sooner or later. And that glorification has no meaning at all. In fact, Prabhupada says sometimes a man is promoted by the public by writing some book about him. Like we went to one gentleman in Pune, I don't want to mention the name. We had gone to, he's a very big industrialist. So one of our devotees had gone to him, you are a crorepati, please give some money for our temple. Now we want to construct a temple for Krishna's glorification. So can you please kindly offer some donation? So that man said, yeah, yeah, I will surely think about it. But right now I would like to gift you another thing. He said, what is it? He took out this much bulky book, you know, autobiography about himself. Along with his photo in the cover page. And how from childhood, and how he grew up as a big industrialist over a period of time, you know, and what all things he has done, which industries he has, and how many branches he has, and everything, bulky, bulky book. So then he gave it to the devotee and said, first you understand who I am, you read my glories first. Later on I will think about donation. Till now he hasn't given a single penny donation. But this devotee brought the book back here. So we were wondering where to keep the book, what to do with the book. So we just put it in Raddi later on. Because that book is no fit for anything beyond that. Because the glory of the dying mortals, the living beings of this world, you know, how long can it last? You know, where is Napoleon Bonaparte gone? Where is Alexander the Great gone? Where is Hitler and Stalin gone? They will all be old order changeth, yielding place to new. The old people, all these fellows, they will all be forgotten in the sands of time. Now somebody may say, probably Hitler killed so many people, so he's still remembered. But how long will he be remembered? When one Kali Yuga turns into Satya Yuga finished, nobody will know these histories. They will all be finished. It may be known for 100, 200, 300 years. So, the glorification of a politician, or a glorification of a tiny living entity, some cinema actor or cinema actress, or some kings, you know, that is not counted seriously at all. If you see Bhagavatam, you will find, you know, one king, he married a such and such lady, they produced 8 children, you know, and then they all got married to so and so, like that it will say, and they produced 2 children, he produced 4 children, like that it will go on. Sometimes you read verse after, you get tired. My Lord, last 10 pages, you know, last 10 pages I have been reading, you know, who married whom, and, you know, how many children they got, and, you know, which kingdom they ruled, you know. And then it goes on. And then as it comes, you know, and then it will say that so and so, he begot a son named Indradyumna or whatever. And then, you know, Shukadeva Goswami takes the video camera close to that man. why he is a special personality, this Indradyumna, and then he zooms on that personality. How he was a king and he was meditating, and then he ignored Agastya, and then he became Gajendra in the next life. And then there's elaborate description about Gajendra Moksha, chapter after chapter. You find that. So why he does that? Because it has a connection to Vishnu. If anything has connection to Vishnu or Krishna, it is valuable. Otherwise, nothing. So about every one of you, we can glorify you. Like in your family, you can say, great-grandfather was there, he produced a son, and grandfather came, and then he produced another son, father came, and then their father produced this son or that daughter, and they joined Hare Krishna movement. And then we can write about you. How wonderful this personality was. He or she was not like ordinary person. Although everyone goes to movie, this person never went to movie. Although everyone eats meat, drinks wine, this person followed all the four regulative principles. So, that is the Chaitanya Charitamrita's only description about whom? Devotees only. About different devotees. So the life of a devotee is worth describing because it has connection to Lord. Otherwise there is no... Lord is glorious, and a devotee who takes shelter of Lord is glorious. Otherwise in this world, you know, all the other parakarmata, the great so-called glorious material activities will come to pass. And all the living entities are compared to Jugnu, like a glowworm in front of Krishna, who is like a sun. See, Jugnu, when can it show its glory? Only in darkness. When people are in ignorance, you can show off. I am this, I am that. And as soon as people become enlightened, we cannot show off to them. The only person who can show in front of them is Krishna, who is the supreme master of everyone. Nayakanam, Shiro Ratnam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Everyone's opulence becomes diminished and stunted and small in front of Krishna's opulence. In ISKCON you will find, you know, very big people, very, very big people. Like I was in Mayapur, somebody came and told me, you know, Prabhuji, I wanted to introduce this Ajay Govind Prabhu to you. And this boy, you know, he offered obeisances. And then he got up, they introduced me. Prabhuji is reading your book, this Your Best Friend or something, and this, what is it, Victory Over Death. So then I was talking to him, then I asked him, so what, you are studying somewhere? He said, I finished my studies, Prabhuji. He said, really? Where did you pass out from? I have completed my doctorate from Cambridge University, you know, just now. And he's a very young boy, just 21-year-old. He's completed his doctorate from Cambridge. So I was stunned. Such a brilliant boy, such a highly educated. But he was telling, although I am born in a devotee family, Prabhuji, I was always arguing with my parents. But somehow I got your book and I read it. Now I am convinced about this, about that, everything he was telling. Then that afternoon, you know, after lunch prasad, I was entering into the Lotus building, you know. And there in the corridor, there were four or five people sitting and talking. And then one devotee showed me, this is Ambarish Prabhu. And Ambarish Prabhu was in simple dhoti kurta, you know. And he was talking to four or five devotees. Although he's a billionaire. From the worldly point of view, billionaires are so much respected. But Ambarish Prabhu is like just like any other devotee. So Ekalavya Prabhu was telling, when he went to Ambarish Prabhu's house once when he was abroad, he said Ambarish Prabhu and his wife, they made a huge plate, a silver plate with so many varieties of dry fruits and this fruit and that fruit. And they offered Ekalavya Prabhu. And he said, the way they served me, I felt it was the same way I was served as I go to any ordinary, you know, average, below middle class family would serve me. They served me with so much reverence and respect. There was not even an iota of pride that he is such a rich man. You didn't find the iota of pride at all. He was so simple. And while talking to him, Ekalavya Prabhu said, I told him, Prabhuji, you are so rich, and how can you be so humble and simple? So Ambarish Prabhu said, what are you talking? These riches are not my riches. These are all Krishna's. Krishna has given me, and Krishna will take it away. And while I am alive, I would like to use as much as I can in Krishna's service. So you will find in ISKCON so many highly educated people. Prabhupada says in the Kingdom of God chapter, he says that in the spiritual world, The Vaikunthavasis and their wives are so beautiful. Their bodies are shining like lightning. Their teeth are like a string of pearls. And they are wearing silk saris and they are wearing very costly jewelry and ornaments and necklaces and everything in their bodies. But the husbands and wives, they have no mutual attraction for each other to enjoy sex life. There he says that their only attraction is to serve Vishnu. Prabhupada says that. And then Prabhupada says, in ISKCON also we have many people who are young, attractive and beautiful. But they are so attracted to Krishna's service that they are not attracted to each other's bodies. Prabhupada writes that. So, the point I was telling you is, Krishna is served by the best of the people and best of the things. Best of the things in this world are fit to be given to whom? Krishna only. That is why the Shyamataka jewel, which was kept with Satrajit, who was the best person to receive it? Krishna only. But Satrajit didn't give it. You know, he kept it with himself. And that is why he didn't achieve glory in his life. Yeah. So, the best of the things should be used in Krishna's service. Like I told you about this Abhishek. Whatever was best in the universe was given to Krishna. He is a supreme enjoyer. And if we don't give to Krishna, then who else can we give it to? Like Shyamananda was giving a lecture in Udupi for a group of our boys, some 50-60 boys. And Shyamananda wanted to test the boys, how much do they have developed faith in Krishna. So he told them, do you know Balaji has a crown which is 60 crores? He said. And then one boy said, 60 crores? He's wearing such a crown? So costly. Prabhuji, what is the need of putting such a crown on God? Said, God never said, give me a crown, give me a crown. God has never asked. And then, you know, this one sannyasi, Pejavar Met Swami, you know, they have made a golden rath for Gopal, which is also like that, you know, 80 crores or 100 crores or whatever, golden rath to take the Lord. Occasionally they bring it out, not often. So, somebody may say, so much money being spent. Then, someone was selling the necklace of the Lord is so costly and everything. The jewelry, the gold and silver and everything. So one boy couldn't tolerate it, immediately raised the hand, you know. Then he asked, Prabhuji, you know, why are we putting all this gold, silver, diamond and everything in God's body? And that too so costly, Prabhuji asked. Then Prabhuji asked him, okay, if you don't put in God's body, then whose body are you going to put in? He asked him. So then the boy thought for a while. Of course, I think he understood the answer. Maybe he will put for his wife, if he marries or something like that. But it's not that woman cannot wear nice costly dresses and ornaments and everything. It's a part of Vedic culture that even the gopi is very nicely decorated with nice saris and jewellery. The gopas decorate with turban and everything and go. But the general principle is, who was it? One queen in Rajasthan, Jaipur, I think. That was not a queen, princess. Princess. So she wanted to, there was a very beautiful jewellery her father got her. But she wanted to offer it to Govinda Dev, Radha Govinda Dev. It was an earring, I think. So then she gave the pujari and told, please check whether Govinda Dev has a hole. If he has a hole in the ears, then he can offer the earring. And the pujari checked and he said, sorry, there is no hole. So she wept so badly. I could not offer this jewelry. It is so attractive. Other than Govinda Dev, nobody can wear this. She was thinking like that. Because she was so intensely weeping, Govinda Dev manifested a hole. You know. And then next day the pujari saw it. And then again he found out that family. He told the king that, you know, now the Lord is manifesting a hole in his ears. Please give. And he took the jewelry and he put it. So, you know, sometimes we find few people can understand this philosophy about how the Lord deserves such worship. Now even after we become devotees, sometimes even devotees wonder, is it really so necessary to worship Lord with such a diamond and jewelry and such costly items? And one may wonder like that. But actually the bhumi and the oceans and the mountains, they are all creating all these things only for Krishna's pleasure. You see, When we use it for human beings, then the human beings may become attracted to one another and they may remain under illusion. But when these things are used in Krishna service, then one can become just like sometimes you see Radharani is wearing a nose ring. When you move from front to back, it is glowing. You have seen that? So beautifully glowing. By seeing the Lord wearing beautiful jewelry, you know, we feel attraction. So that boy was telling, Prabhuji, why do we build a big temple for God? Why can't like we make a small temple under a tree like Ganesh sitting under a tree? Isn't it some places you have seen Ganesh ji sitting under a tree? So people think like this because they think we are the masters, we are the pivot of the universe, we are the enjoyers. They think like that. And because of that, people try to satisfy their own senses. For example, if you are a GET, graduate engineering trainee in a company, you go in a Luna or a scooter. You may go in a scooter. You become project leader, you get a car. You become a manager, you get a Benz. Similarly, the house size also keeps increasing. From 1 BHK, you go to 2 BHK, then a row house, then you get a bungalow, then you get a villa in Kadakwasla. Isn't it? As your money increases. You ask anybody in this world, if you become wealthy, will you not increase your opulence? You ask. Can anybody say, Prabhuji, even if I am earning 2 lakh or 3 lakh rupees per month, I will live only in 1 BHK? Will anybody say like that? Impossible. Right opposite our campus here, you go in that road. Between this road and the other road, there is only one house. Do you know that? It is the army major general who lives here. Long before Vaidya was living, he was shot, you may be aware. Then after that, one or two people have changed. Now currently I think it is N.C. Vij, who is the major general. He is the number one man in the army, in the entire India. He lives here. And between two roads, there is only one house. Once I went for giving Janmashtami invitation, for me to go from outside to inside, it took me 2 hours. You know, because there are about 50, what do you call it, the watchmen. We have to go through very strict route. At last I went inside, I saw such a big lawn, which is almost 8 or 10 times our garden size. And a huge house. At last I entered the house, I thought, I want to see who this man is. And then his mother came. She said, "No, you give the invitation to me, I will give it to him." She took the invitation, I couldn't even see him. So if a human being can live an opulent life like this, why doesn't God deserve a big temple? Ask yourself. Yeah, people live very opulent lives. Like nowadays, marriage invitations, people spend 5,000 to 10,000 rupees per marriage invitation card. For one card, they spend so much. How many of you have seen? You have seen that? Somebody gave me a marriage invitation card which had a golden coin in the center. So I think if somebody is not very rich, they will pick it up, sell it and make some money. Isn't it? So people print cards like this. Yeah. Basically, people like to show off their, you know, status. Like the why they wear a very fine dress, they want to show that we are so rich. Like if you go to a hotel, now people drink juice or something and they have to leave a little bit, half the glass they won't drink. That is a sign that you are from a, you know, special class family. You don't care for it. If somebody else collected money from here and there, he borrowed and then he goes to a hotel, he will drink it, put some water and, you know, drink the whole thing. You know? Isn't it? So, he'll make sure, like, you know, once in our hotel, you know, when we had a, what do you call it, when we were working in a company, they had called us to Executive Ashoka Hotel for a kind of, what do you call it, this conference kind of thing, yearly meeting, you know. So one of my colleagues was asking them, this plate looks very opulent, how costly it is? They said 350 rupees per plate. It was a star hotel. He didn't leave anything, he completely finished it. And then he also went and asked them, how much more, which are all unlimited items? He asked, whatever was unlimited, he made sure he served more and more. Isn't it? But a rich person sometimes leaves behind a little bit to show that I am quite rich. I don't care, I keep getting. See, when it comes to human beings, they show off so much with their wealth. When it comes to God, people become stingy. And why does God need a big temple? Why does God need a big crown? Actually, by offering these things to God, people can understand His value more. Because people always go by great things. Like Aishwarya means bhoga aishwarya prasaktanam. Aishwarya means grand things and great things. You go to this Tirupati, they celebrate this Brahmotsav for 10 days. Every day, 5 lakh to 10 lakh people come. Every day. So they were inviting me, you come sometimes and see. So the Lord Balaji is very opulent, and when he is opulently worshipped and Abhishek is done, and also when the palanquins carry the Lord, then people want to come and see. If we don't use opulence for God's service, naturally we lose it for our own gratification, our own sense gratification. Yeah, that is very natural. You can't help it. Prabhupada explains how everyone in this world thinks I am master, but actually we are not master. I heard a lecture recently, which was very eye opening. Prabhupada says how we are not master. Scientifically, he is explaining. He says that a person serves only his senses, or serves those people who gratify his senses. For example, a person is serving the boss in the company. Why? Because boss gives salary, and with salary can purchase gratification for your senses. So you serve the boss. So serving boss means what? Sense gratification only, ultimately. Similarly, Prabhupada says, one maintains wife, children, family, her husband, mother, father, and all these people because they give pleasure to my senses. That is why I maintain them. So he says, Prabhupada says there, these are called extended sense gratification, he says. So actually, only a devotee can understand this. A non-devotee cannot even begin to think about it. If you say sense gratification, they will think, if I am taking a gulab jamun and putting in their tongue, that is sense gratification. You can understand it. I am gratifying my senses. But Prabhupada talks about extended sense gratification. In this world, we agree to serve someone. The only reason Prabhupada says is ultimately because that will satisfy my senses. Somebody may ask, what's wrong with satisfying one's senses? Satisfying one's senses, one becomes a slave of the senses. For example, affection is appreciated in this world, but not attachment. For example, you'll see in a house, a man thinks, I am the master of the house. Why? Because every month I bring the salary pack and give it to my wife. So I am the master of the house. And he tells everyone, yeah, my whole house runs on my strength only. Whereas his wife goes and tells her friends, you know, this fellow gives his salary pack to me as soon as it comes. So I am the finance minister at home. And some people say home minister. They call wife as home minister. She controls the home. And she tells her friend that, my husband is in my control. He is in my clutches. He is a katputri in my hands. Whatever I decide happens at home. So who is the queen at home? It's me. And the child says to his friends, if I give out a loud cry, both my mother and father will bow down to me. So who is the king of the house? So everyone thinks they are the master in the house. So Prabhupada says, they claim to be master, but they are actually a slave. They are simply a slave. For example, a boy is a slave of his girlfriend. Although he may be thinking that, girlfriend actually will give me happiness. But he is a slave. Why? In her absence, he may go mad. He may fail in his subjects. He may become controlled by her. So who is master, who is slave? In this world, every living being is a slave of the senses. And why is it so? Because we are not using our senses in Krishna's service. If you don't use the senses in Krishna's service, then we become slave of the senses. Actually, the first step in spiritual life is to understand, although I possess the senses, they are not in my control. Like Prabhupada gives example there, like this hand is possessed by me, it's my hand. But I may say when I lift the hand, it goes up, when I put the hand down, it goes down. So do I not have control over the hand? But what is this control like? For example, if I put on this switch, bulb glows. If I switch it off, the bulb is off. So do I not have control over this bulb? How many of you say, I have control over this bulb? Raise your hand. Because when I switch it on, it is on. When I switch it off, it is off. So am I not controlling it? So am I not the controller of my hand? In the same manner. But if you think deeply, you will know, when I switch it on, it is on because the MSCB is sending power supply here. If they cut it, then my switching on, switching off has no meaning. Isn't it? Imagine, for example, there is a power cut today. Huh? I am switching on. Will it get on? I am switching it off. It will always be off only. Isn't it? So, then what is the use? Huh? Because I have no control over it. Similarly, when I am lifting the hand and up and down, hand is moving now and I am thinking I am the controller. But there is a Shakti which Krishna is supplying from the top. And He has given the potency in my hand to lift up and... So when Krishna takes away that power, sometimes people get paralytic attack. One side of their body doesn't function. And the hand is like this. That time if I want to lift hand, I can't lift. Hand is always down. So this requires little intelligence to understand. All the senses of my body. For example, when one is hale and healthy, one has the potency in their body. To man, woman, when they are young, they think, you know, our body is so hale and healthy and we can enjoy. So you can enjoy sense gratification, you become 40, 50, 60. The very same senses which gave enjoyment at young age will not continue to give enjoyment anymore. And one becomes frustrated. And especially for materialistic people, they wonder, suddenly what happened? Why I can't enjoy the way I was enjoying when I was 25? Or when I was enjoying when I was 20? Now one becomes 40, 50, 60. All the bodily limbs of the body, they become weak. They lose their potency, they lose their power. So a devotee can understand, actually, yatha dana subhaidana bhavantina bhavanticha. So this is coming in Chitaketu section. There it says, if Lord wants to give a child, He will give a child to somebody. So the man's ability to impregnate a woman and produce a child, that potency is also given by Lord only. It says that. Otherwise, if Lord doesn't want a man to beget child, then He will not give a child. So child is a gift of God. And our potencies that we have in our senses is gift of God. Our ability to see, ability to hear, ability to smell, taste, touch, all these things. It's all given by Krishna. So, if a company gives me a car, I should use the car in company service, not for my personal work. So, if Krishna has given me the senses, then what I should do with the senses? Very simple logic. Use it in Krishna's service. That's all. Very simple. And how to use in Krishna's service, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam is explained. But when we take our senses, our buddhi, our shakti, everything and use it in our own gratification, we get stuck in this world. We remain stuck in this world. So, that is due to envy for Krishna. So, Prabhupada calls the living beings as poor sons of the Lord, he says. Poor sons. Why are we called as poor sons? See, Krishna is Lakshmipati. And we are not even paisapati. 10 paisa, 20 paisa. We are born with empty hands only. And we leave this world with empty hands. We don't... See, Lakshmi is the energy of Krishna. Can we say, Karodpati says that this crore rupees is my energy? Can he say? Is he coming with bringing crore in his hands? Is he going with crore? He is coming naked with nothing. So, that is why we are poor sons in that sense. We don't have... See, we are also energy. Just like Lakshmi is one energy, Antaranga Shakti, we are also energy. And all the material energy is also energy. Energy can never enjoy energy. Only energetic can enjoy energy. Because energy is meant for the energetic's pleasure. And who is energetic? Krishna, Vishnu, Ram, Purusha. Purusha means the Shaktiman. We are not a Shaktiman. We are all Shaktis. We are called as Tatastha Shakti. So, what to speak of using the worldly things in Krishna's service, we have to use ourselves in Krishna's service. Not only the things of the world. Everything is meant for His pleasure. But when the Shakti wants to enjoy another Shakti, he will suffer in this world. When energy tries to enjoy, when spiritual energy tries to enjoy material energy, he will suffer. But if spiritual energy takes material energy and uses in Krishna's service, then he will prosper. He will be happy. So, Krishna being the Bhoktaram, or the supreme enjoyer, this is a very central aspect of our philosophy. This is a very vital aspect. As devotees, we have to digest this fact deeply within the core of our hearts, that Krishna is the master, I am his servant. You know this Swaminarayan people, we asked one of them, what is the mantra you chant, like we chant Hare Krishna mantra. You know, they were telling, generally our mantra is a secret mantra, we don't tell anyone. But now that, because our organization has given to everyone this mantra, so we have nothing to hide from you, so we will tell you. So they said our mantra is Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Krishna Dasosmi. This is what they chant. I am Brahman and I am servant of Krishna. This they chant repeatedly several times. Now why it is not enough for you to know Aham Brahmasmi? Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Yanis chant like that. It's like, for example, I have a 1,000 rupee note and I am saying, I have currency note, I am happy. If you are showing the currency note, can you be happy? Yes, you have 1,000 rupee, but can you be happy? How can you become happy? By using the currency note. Similarly, aham brahmasmi, that is useless. You have to act as Brahman. And that is the meaning of engaging our senses, engaging all resources in Krishna's service. Then only we can become happy. Otherwise, aham brahmasmi means, like a man is out of the hospital now. And now he is just relaxing. He's not doing any activity. So without doing activity, there is no pleasure. If you are healthy from the, out of the hospital, then you stand up, you go for jogging, you go for playing. If you play, you will get some fun. You eat, you will get some fun. You do some activity, you will get fun. What is the use of saying that, now I am free from sickness, so I am lying in the bed now. So there is no activity. Aham Brahmasmi is like that only. So three stages Prabhupada explains. The diseased state, the convalescent state, and healthy state. And all of us in this world, we are in which state? Diseased state. Why diseased state? Because we have enjoying mentality. Everyone is thinking, how to enjoy. A man is thinking, oh, that girl is beautiful, maybe I can marry her, I will enjoy her body, he thinks. And a woman is thinking, oh, this boy seems to be a rich boy, he's coming in a big car, maybe a borrowed car. And she's thinking, if I marry him, he will give me all facilities. He's like an ATM machine. I can get a lot of facilities from him. So this is enjoying mentality. Everyone is thinking like that. So the enjoying mentality is a disease all over the world. Nobody is in a serving mentality. So when you become Krishna's devotee, is one of the first things we learn. That I was surprised. Nobody taught me this before coming to Prabhupada's books. The main cause of your suffering in this world is enjoying mentality, Prabhupada says. So engage in Krishna's service. Then that enjoying mentality, disease will be finished. So, what is disease mentality? When I am having a disease, I am coughing, my tongue is bitter, I am feeling headache and all that. It's not a state of happiness. It's a very painful state. Similarly, conditioned soul is never happy in this world. Shoka, moha, bhaya, these things afflict him. A conditioned soul. And then you become a jnani, aham brahmasmi. You go to the convalescent period. You take antibiotics, you become free. Actually, even after viral fever is gone, still body is weak. And the body cannot do any activity. That is convalescent period. You are lying in the bed. And then once you are healthy, then you can eat a big plate of prasad. Then you can go out, you can dance, chant, you can do activity. That is the healthy state. In that state, we should engage everything in Krishna's service. Whatever we have. Opulence for Krishna, poverty for oneself. And all the facilities, like I told you in the beginning of the class about how the demigods came and offered such a grand worship to Krishna. And one should actually feel very happy to see Krishna, Radha and Krishna very beautifully dressed. And we offer jewelry for them. We offer, actually sometimes they offer bhoga on a festival day like Radhashtami or, sometimes Nityananda Tridashi. Sometimes you look into the altar. Sometimes even children are peeping to see how beautiful bhoga offering is done. Somebody may say, Prabhuji, how can I feel happiness by seeing the bhoga? I have to eat it. Anyway, as you grow older and older, you can only be happy by seeing. You can't eat so much. Isn't it? Only Krishna can eat like Jagannath. He can eat unlimitedly and never get digestion problem. Isn't it? When we grow beyond 40, 50, 60, if you learn the art of seeing Krishna enjoying, then it's very good for you. Otherwise, the materialistic people, as they grow older, you can't eat like the way you ate before. You can't enjoy the senses the way you enjoyed before. They'll get thoroughly frustrated. But if you learn right from now, you see something very beautiful, immediately you think, how can I use it in Krishna's service? I saw, where was it? It was in London. One Maharaj had come. Somebody, brought him a silk towel, colorful silk towel. He saw that, he said, oh, it is so beautiful. He said, I cannot use it, I am giving it back to you. But if you can get a bigger piece of this cloth for the deities, it will be nice. Krishna deserves to wear this. This cloth looks so beautiful. So one immediately thinks about how something can be engaged in Krishna's service. Like you see a beautiful rose in the garden. Oh, what a beautiful rose. I can offer to Kunjabihari. And if you don't offer Kunjabihari, you will offer to someone else. As Shaman Prabhu said. In this world, if you don't use it in Krishna's service, naturally we will use it for our sense gratification. That is very natural. You see why the charity is kept. If you don't give charity, sometimes we earn more, and then sometimes husband and wife are having a big quarrel how that money should be spent. Like, you know, husband says, the last few months we have accumulated a few lakhs now, so let us go for a European tour. Wife is saying, no, we'll go to Mayapur. Or Mayapur Dham somewhere. Husband says, what will I do in Mayapur? I'm not a devotee. You know, you are a devotee or whatever. Sometimes they don't know how to use the money. Whenever you get extra money, you get frail, the mind will contemplate on sense gratification. Increasing comforts, increasing luxuries. So Shastra says, don't give chance for that. Use it in charity. Give it to Krishna. There may be a little pinch, but give it away. If you give it away, your life will become glorious. So the central theme of this verse is this only. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of trees and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. So two things. One is we have to bow down to Krishna, understanding he is my master. I am only a servant. And he is Lakshmipati, he is the Lord of all opulences. And by worshipping him and surrendering to him, I will become glorious. And that is my true position. Another thing is, use everything in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada said this when he went to the West. You can never become happy by manipulating the material things of this world. But if you take them, he gave an example. He said, right now this is a house. And see these boys and girls, they are decorating the walls with so many paintings and so many types of arrangements and everything. But they are decorating for whose pleasure? For Krishna's pleasure, worshipping Krishna. Then that is Krishna consciousness. But if somebody is doing decoration for one's own body, then it is sense gratification. Prabhupada made this very simple to understand. What is sense gratification? What is Krishna consciousness? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.